Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Ayin Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur three lines from the top of Daf Ayin Gimel. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Shachtoi Shaloi Lo'ichlov, a person who had slaughtered a Korban Pesach, having in mind people that are not capable of eating. And if he did this on Shabbos, so he is considered as having violated Shabbos, even though a person is allowed to bring a Korban Pesach on Shabbos, that's provided he brought a proper Korban Pesach. Slaughtering it with the wrong people in mind is grounds for the ruination of the sacrifice. The Gemara wants to know, why does the Mishnah seem to teach us something that is fairly obvious? The Gemara asks, Pshita, Kevon de Hosam Posol, Hochachayov. In the case of a Korban Pesach under normal circumstances, done, Sheloi Lo'ichlov, the Korban is unfit. Here, when you do that on Shabbos, certainly he should be Chayov. It's obvious that he should be Chayov. He's done a non-Korban act. He's just simply slaughtered an animal, which is strictly forbidden on Shabbos. The Gemara answers, well, you want to know why the Mishnah taught Shachta Shalom Lochlov Mishum Detona Seifa Potter, because in the Seifa, continuation of the Mishnah, reference is made to a case of him slaughtering Lochlov Vishalom Lochlov, the mixed mindset. So in the Seifa case, there is exemption, therefore Tona Resha Chayov. So in contrast to the Seifa case of exemption, the Resha, it teaches Chayov, the case of Shalom Lochlov, but we'll call it a stylistic consideration as opposed to something of real novel value being revealed. Question: V'ha nami pshita? The safer case of the mixed mindset is also obvious. Mishum dehasam kasher hacha poter. Since if you would have slaughtered a Korban Pesach any day of the week, whenever the 14th of Nisan falls out, with that mixed mindset, the Korban is acceptable. Therefore, having done that very same thing on Shabbos, he is exempt. After all, a Korban Pesach is brought on Shabbos when you do it properly, and a mixed mindset constitutes a proper, even though maybe it's not the best way to do it, but nevertheless it's an acceptable way. It's a kosher way, so of course he's exempt if he does it on Shabbos. So we're back to square one. Why did the Mishnah teach Shachtoi Shalom La'ochlov and Chayev if he does that on Shabbos? Elo, Aidi Detona, since the Mishnah taught in the Reisha, Shachtoi Shalom Lishmoi B'Shabbos, the Mishnah said a Pesach, Korban Pesach that's slaughtered with a different Korban in mind, he would be guilty. Tono nami shalola ochlov. Another example of an act that results in guilt is taught. So the Gemara asks, "Vehi gufa lomali?" Of what necessity is there to teach the case of shachtoi shalola lishmo? That is fairly obvious if you do that on Shabbos, since it would ruin a korban pesach. If it's done on Shabbos, it would be a violation of Shabbos. The Gemara answers, Mishum de kaboi leiflugi Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. The Mishnah had an agenda. It wanted to lead up to the machlokis Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua that concerned shechting other kinds of korbanos with a Pesach intention, which is also a form of shelo lishmo, but it's a shelo lishmo by other zvachim where they had in mind a korban Pesach. And in that case, we saw a machlokas. There was a chiddush. We saw a machlokas tanoim, a novel point, especially Shitas Rabbi Yoshua, who said that would be exempt. So because we were leading up to that, to an example of shalom lishmo, so all the prefatory information was stated, even though it was fairly obvious, it was quite obvious information. Amalei Rav Huna bar Chinuna Librei. Rav Huna turns to his son and he says, Ki azlis lekame de Rabbi Zrika, when you go to visit Rabbi Zrika, bo'i minei, ask of him. L'divrei ha'oimer mekalkel b'chabura poter. According to the opinion that on Shabbos, if an act of a destructive nature, mekalkel, an act of ruination, if an act of that nature, a ruination act is done in the realm of inflicting injury, that mekalkel chabura is an injury causing blood flow, but where the act was done with destructive intent, such an act, if done on Shabbos, there is an opinion, it's a machlokis, but there's an opinion that says mekalkel b'chabura is potter. With that opinion in mind, I have a series of issues that I want to clarify. And on the side of the Gemara, introducing the triangles that we see, we have the following. Sidra shel kushios, a series of questions. Aliba demandam or mekalkel b'chabura poter, according to the opinion that holds, it's a machlokis tanoim, but there's an opinion that holds that a destructive injury act is exempt. Lomahu chayov al shchitos hamekulkolos ha'elu. Why would there be guilt for the following examples of ruined shchitos? And the question, the underlying question is there anything constructive in the following acts, the acts that the Gemara will enumerate? Ma tikein shenechayvo. What positive aspect, what is accomplished in what seems to be a strictly destructive act of slaughtering? Slaughtering falling under the realm of asiyas chabur, the making of an injury. So now let us continue with the questions. Bearing in mind, we're working with this opinion that mekalkel b'chabura is poter. Shachtei shelo le'ochlov chayav. Our Mishnah teaches that if you slaughter a korban pesach with non-eaters in mind, people that are not capable of eating, and you did that on Shabbos 14th of Nisan, one is chayav. The fact that someone is chayav, that shows that it's not a mere act of destruction, because a mere act of destruction, a totally destructive act, would have been putter. On the other hand, a Pesach that shechted shelo le'ochlov is a ruined korban. So if it's ruined, it would be considered mekalkel. So why is he chayav for having violated Shabbos? And that's why the Gemara asks, Ma tikein, what constructive activity took place here that we hold him chayav for his Shabbos violation? After all, I know we're sounding a bit repetitive, but we're working with the opinion that says mekalkel b'chabur is poter. So Ma tikein, what constructive aspect was there to this? The Gemara says, tikein im olu lo yerdu. The accomplishment here is that a slaughtered korban pesach done shelo lochlav, if the innards of that animal were brought up to the mizbeach, they are not to be taken down, but rather they're to be cast into the fire. So that was already a certain, let's say, accomplishment, because there are cases of things that wrongfully brought on the mizbeach must be taken off. This, something positive has been accomplished that enables it to remain on the altar. Another question. So, actually, before we go on, as a result of this im olu lo yerdu accomplishment, therefore, shachtoi shelo lochlav on Shabbos is considered chayav. Question number two. Shachtoi v'nimtza bal mum. Chayav. A person slaughtered a korban, slaughtered the korban pesach, and found it to have a blemish. He is said to be chayav. He is considered in violation of Shabbos. Matike, what accomplishment is there over here? It's simply it's an unacceptable act of slaughter. Answer, Tikein, Bedukin Sheba'ayin, Valiba Derbi Akiva, Diomar Im Olu, Lo Yerdu. So that's a, we said a mouthful over there. But in the realm of blemish, there is something called a Dukin Sheba'ayin. It's a type of scratch on the eye, or some type of eye imperfection, where, according to Rabbi Akiva, even though it's a balmum, nevertheless, it's a very light level blemish, and as such, if its innards are brought on the Mizbeach, they are not to be brought down. So even though as a first choice you don't want, it's an unacceptable animal sacrifice, even though in the case of bird sacrifices, Dukin Shebayin is acceptable, but in the realm of animal sacrifice, it's unacceptable, but post facto, if one brought the innards up, they are to remain there. So that is an accomplishment, and as a result of that, it's not a strict example of Mekalkel, of totally destructive act. And therefore, there is a Shabbos violation. Question number three. Shachlei v'nimtzo treifa b'seiser. B'seiser means a hidden, an inner organ that is found to have a hole in it, which would then make the animal into a treifa. And as a treifa, it's unacceptable as a sacrifice. And the Mishnah says, the Halacha says, that if you shecht an animal, you find it to have an internal treifus, one is exempt. He had no way of knowing about that ahead of time. Habugol lechayev. There are forms of treifus that are external. If a person, and he could have known about that ahead of time, and he shechts an animal, a sacrifice, and it turns out to be a treifa, an external treifa, he is chayev matikin. What benefit is there in that? Is that not an act of a totally destructive act? It's an animal that was dedicated as a sacrifice. You can't. It's found to be a treifa. You can't eat it. So is it not totally destructive? The Gemara answers: Tikein lahotzi midei nevela. The accomplishment is that had this animal not been slaughtered, but would have died on its own, it would have been metamic, it would have been the source of a form of tumah called tumas nevela. And now that you have slaughtered it, true, it's a treifa, but it's no longer going to be metamic. It doesn't convey any ritual impurity. So that is an accomplishment, and therefore he is chayav for having done that on Shabbos. It's not a totally destructive act. Maskiflo Ravina. Ravina raises a question from a Tanaic source, Hadesanya. The following source says, Hashochet chatos b'Shabbos b'chutz l'avodah zorah. A person on Shabbos took a sin offering animal, slaughtered it on Shabbos outside the Azorah. B'chutz is outside the Azorah, and he did it with the intent of serving an idol. That's l'avodah zorah. Chayav oleo sholosh chatos. He is guilty of three violations, and one of the violations happens to be Shabbos. Now, isn't this a totally destructive act? Ma tikein, what beneficial thing is accomplished over here? So here there is no im olu lo yered. It was slaughtered with an idolatrous intention, and as such, it's something that's forbidden to benefit from. So what? What has been solved? What improvement has taken place over here? Amar Rav Avira, Shemotzio Midei Eiver Min Hachai. The term Eiver Min Hachai is a reference to a limb removed from a living animal. Basically, a live animal, eating from a live animal, is called Eiver Min Hachai. Now, having slaughtered it, it's no longer going to be Eiver Min Hachai. And therefore, it's an improvement that prior to the slaughtering, eating from this would have been a violation of eating from a living animal. Now that you've slaughtered it, so that there that violation won't take place, and hence we have moved up a step, so to speak, and therefore he is chayav even though it was done on Shabbos. Shochtoi v'noida shemoshu baylim es yodam. We continue in the Gemara with a din of Rav Huna Marav. Before we begin the actual text, let us glance at this side where we have a topic heading. Korban shohaya miyod lematora mesuyemes, a sacrifice that was designated for a particular purpose. Ve'ekev shinui nesibot, because of changed circumstances, hishtanta matarosa, the purpose of the sacrifice changes. Ha'im bo'inon akiras shmoi horishon, do we require the uprooting of its original status, original name, or original designation, kidei shehe kashir lematora hashniya, for it to be suitable for its second purpose? Rav Huna Marav says, lo boy akira, that just by virtue of the fact there are changed circumstances, that is enough for the designation of the sacrifice to change. And you don't have to have a conscious or proactive statement of change, i.e. uprooting original name and instating a new status. The Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Osham shenitak l'raya v'shochtoi stam kosher le'ola. Now this is a one line of Gemara, but a great deal of background is needed for appreciating this. A person who had, let us say, been guilty or obligated to bring an osham sacrifice, it's a form of it's a sacrifice brought for achieving atonement for specific types of sins. Now you have an animal then that was set aside as a korban osham. The, let us say, for example, the owner of it, the animal was lost, and the owner found another korban, another animal, and used it for his osham purposes, and then the original osham was found. Now, what is the law regarding the original osham? So the best case scenario is it's set out to grace. Once it develops a blemish, it's then redeemed, and the money is used for buying a korban ola. And it would seem, according to the accepted opinion, it's used for bringing a public korban ola. It's called nidvas tzibor. So we have an animal that originally had an osham status to it. Because of the circumstances, it is no longer going to be used as an osham. The owner already achieved his atonement through another animal. It's then something destined to become an ola. The term shenitak, nitak means it was removed. It was was removed from its osham purpose. Laraya means and set out to graze. The Rashi uses the expression on the second to last narrow line, v'im nitku me'olov v'ishlicho la'efer lirois. He removed it from himself. The animal originally was to be this person's atonement. Now, it's not needed for that anymore. So, if he removes it from himself and sends it out to the efer as the fields to graze in anticipation of it developing a blemish, that's an osham shenitak l'raya. And now, what happened? V'shochtoi stam, after it was designated and removed to sent out to graze, it was then slaughtered in the Beis Hamikdash with a neutral mindset. It is kosher l'ola. It's acceptable now as a korban ola. Almo kosovar, this shows us that Rav is of the opinion, lo boi akira. There's no need for a formal redesignation. In other words, he shechted it with a neutral mindset. He didn't shecht it as, I am now processing a korban ola. and yet it's acceptable as a korban olah even without the formal akira. You'll notice we have a bracketed section. Following the bracketed section, you'll see Rav Chisda raises a question. He challenges Rav Huna's teaching. We have a note on the side that explains this, the starred note in the margin, and across from here, where we've written Tama Sograyim. The reason for these brackets is Rav Chisda Shemofi Achreya Sograyim Makshal Rav Shemolo Boy Akira. He'll be asking on Rav, who had said that you don't need Akira. B'socha Sograyim Agamora Dono Lomo Choshuv She'osham Nitak L'raya Kedei She'ei Shayach Liyosoy Lo V'lo Sagi B'kachsha B'aydem Niskapir V'achir. Why is it important in the din of Nitak L'raya that it's there's a type of formal sending out to graze? Why is it not enough that once the owner who needed atonement through a korban olah achieved it through another, a replacement animal, at that point is this found original olah, at that point is it not suitable to be an olah? Why is it so important for it to be nitak l'raya, removed and sent out to graze? The Gemara, as we said, after the brackets, will be raising a question on Rav's din. And the question itself, you'll notice, is a long question. It's going to take us down a number of lines down Omid Beis. So, Mirtz Hashem, when we get to that point, we'll go over the reason for asking a question. In the brackets, the Gemara asks, "I hachi ki lo nitak nami." If you're telling me that shachto stam, it's acceptable as an olah, a neutral mindset is sufficient, and it's good as an olah, so what do you have to have it nitak l'raya for? What do you have to have it sent out to the fields? Once the owner achieved his atonement through another animal, he finds the original korban olah, let him shecht it at that point with a neutral mindset and it'll be a good olah. The Gemara answers, gzeira li'achar kapora, otu lifnei kapora. We insist on it being sent out to graze because otherwise we're afraid that people will slaughter their found korban oshams as if it's an olah even before they achieved their atonement through the replacement animal. Now, you see that lifnei kapora, if you have an owner that had an original osham that was designated as such, if he hasn't achieved atonement through another animal, so that first animal still has an osham label on it, so as not to come to a case of the person slaughtering lifnei kapora, his original osham, as an olah. So we make this ksera, have the found animal sent out to graze. That's what the Gemara means when it says ksera li acha kapora. We're making ksera even though the person, the owner, actually did receive atonement through a replacement animal, and technically speaking, the original osham loses its osham status. Nevertheless, we're anticipating a case where he will use the original osham as an olah even before having achieved kapora through another animal. The Gemara asks, "Umino temra, from where do you know to make such a gzera of li'achar kapora otu lifnei kapora?" Disnan, we have a Tanaic source that will be the basis of our answer. Notice that we have a long answer here. We should point out, though, that as Rashi says, that by sending it out to graze, at that, but because we do that, so you're not going to come to any confusion anymore. The Gemara says, "Umenot tamer." From where do we know to make this distinction? This man, osham shemesu bailov, an osham, an osham sacrifice whose owner died before it being offered. Osheniskapu bailov, or the owner received his atonement through another animal, through a replacement animal, and now he's got his original korban osham in front of him, which he doesn't need, either because the owner is dead or the owner achieved atonement through an alternative animal. So the original animal is sent out to graze till yistoyv, means till it develops a blemish, at which point it's subject to being redeemed, and the money is used. Linadova. Linadova is for non-obligatory offerings. Rashi says the money is placed in shofaros. In shofaros were a shofar, a receptacle in which money was stored, and that money was used by the Beis Hamikdash for buying korbanos that would be put on the mizbeach, put on the altar when there was what we'll call downtime for the mizbeach. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yomus. Rabbi Eliezer says it's treated the same way as a chatos whose owner died or achieved atonement through another replacement chatos offering, and everyone agrees that a chatos shemesu or sheniskabu bailov, the original animal dies. So Rabbi Eliezer says it's the same thing with regard to the osham. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Yimocher V'yovi B'domav Oilo. Rabbi Yeshua says after it develops a blemish, the owner will bring it as his own nedav, his own voluntary Ola offering. B'domav in Avol Gufolo. So we are medayik from Rabbi Yeshua that you must get money for it and not use the animal itself. And why is that? The gozar li'achar kapora otu lifnei kapora. We're afraid that if we'll allow you to use the animal itself as an ola, he might use it before he achieved kapora through an alternative animal. Shmamino. So this is our basis, or our proof that we make such a gzera of li'acha kapora, even though the owner actually did achieve kapora through another animal, in anticipation of the case of using the original animal as an ola before kapora. Esfe Rav Chisda l'Rav Huna. Rav Huna had mentioned before that an oshem shenita k'rav v'shochto stam is kosher as an ola. Well, we're going to now challenge that. Shochtoi v'noidu shemoshu b'aylem es yodam. A person shechted a korban pesach. This is found in our Mishnah at the bottom of at the end of Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. And the korban pesach was shechted, and after it was shechted, it was discovered that the original owners, the original group, shemoshu b'aylem, they withdrew from it, from they withdrew from this korban pesach. They were going to join up with another group of people eating another korban pesach, and this took place on Shabbos. This incident. So the Mishnah says potter because he shechted birishus. He's exempt from having violated Shabbos because at the time he did what he did so under mutter circumstances. The fact that they had withdrawn is not something that he should have known about, or that he could have known about. So he's potter because he was shochat birishus. V'toni Allah, we're at the top of Omid Beis, and concerning that, it is taught b'chol ki hai gavna, if it were a weekday, and the same thing happened where someone slaughtered a korban pesach, and after it was slaughtered, he was informed that the owners have withdrawn from it. Yisoref miyad. That is it's an unacceptable korban pesach. Korban pesach has to have owners when it's shechted. The owners had withdrawn from it, so it's a posel korban. Yisoref miyad is burnt immediately. There is no need for what's called ibur tzura. There's no need for waiting till the next day arrives, at which point it would become posel belino, become posel by virtue of the fact that it was laid over till the next day. Rather, yisoref miyad, burn it immediately. E amrs bishlamo boy akira, if you say that in general, a korban, here we're talking right now about a korban Pesach. If in general you say that you need to have akira, then high, this case, where he wasn't oker the name, he didn't undo the name of the original status, the korban Pesach status, so high Pesach hu, this is a, it retains its original Pesach status. The came in the Lesley Bailim, and since the Bailim had withdrawn, the owner had withdrawn, it's an unowned Korban Pesach. Havilei psula begufo. It's called, it's unfit in an inherent fashion. Begufo means inherently unfit. It's a Korban Pesach shesh nishchat shelo liminuyov. It's was shechted without its owners being without having appointed people assigned to it. Amtu lahochi, therefore, yisoref miyad, therefore, the way you deal with korbonos that have inherent deficiencies is immediate burning. You don't have to wait to impose artificially, we'll say, another psul, another deficiency. It's psul right now. Now, let's go over the case. You have a Korban Pesach, 14th of Nisan, during the falling out of the middle of the week. Shabbos, of course, you can't burn unfit sacrifices. Therefore, Shabbos is treated differently. But when it comes to this same case of a Korban Pesach shechted, discovering there were no owners to it, burn it immediately. It's something inherently puzzle. What is it? It's a Korban Pesach. Why is it considered a Korban Pesach? Well, he didn't undo the name of it. He shefted it as it is. Eloi amris lo boy akiro. If you say that a Korban can have its status changed, even without a formal uprooting, let's think about this. What is a Korban Pesach if it's not going to be used as a Korban Pesach? It has in it an inherent or a potential, a latent shlomim identity. True, on the 14th of Nisan, a Korban Pesach that's designated as such, it's a Korban Pesach, assuming that all the other circumstances are in place, it's an acceptable Korban Pesach. However, in our case, you have a Korban Pesach, but you have no owners. They were Moshe Yudayim. Something like that is not fit as a Korban Pesach. So its latent identity of being a Korban Shlomim, maybe it should have come out. So what we're saying here is, Eloi Amris Lo Boy Akira, if you're going to say that a Korban Pesach, when it's not used or functions as a Korban Pesach, it has a Shlomim identity, here you have an animal it may have been designated as a Korban Pesach, but there are no owners to it, so it has a latent it has a shlomim identity to it. Now what did he do? He shechted this shlomim as if it were thinking it was a Korban Pesach. That means it was done late in the day, it was done after the Tomid Shel Bein Harbayim, the daily afternoon sacrifice, was already offered. So psulo mishumai, what's the problem in a shlomim having been done at this point? Mishum dover acher, it's an external deficiency. Dekoshachet le'achar tomid shel bein rabayim, it's a violation of having slaughtered a sacrifice after the afternoon daily offering, which is prohibited other than the case of the Korban Pesach. But if it's a Korban Pesach whose owners had withdrawn, it's no longer a Korban Pesach. It's objectively, it would be a shlomim. Now, a shlomim done late in the day at Korban Pesach time is also to do. You're not allowed to do a shlomim at that time of day. The violation is of an external nature. It's not something inherent to the sacrifice. It's because of the timing of offering this korban. Well, being that it's called a psul mishum davar acher, ibur tzura boi, it requires, in order for us to be able to burn it, after all, you're dealing with something that was sanctified. and to just burn it because of some type of external deficiency, that's not right. Therefore, Ibur Tsuraboy, it requires an additional deficiency called Ibur Tsura, which means leaving it over till the next day, leaving it over till it becomes, till time-wise it becomes unfit. The Sanya, the following source tells us, the Zeha Klal, the following is the rule. Kol Shepsula Begufa Yisorif Miav. If something has an inherent deficiency, it is to be burnt immediately. We're talking, of course, about sacrifices that are found to be unfit because of inherent reasons. So they are burnt immediately. However, Bedam Ubebailim, if the deficiency is because of the blood of the sacrifice spilled out, or the owner was found to be unfit, to ubar tsurasa v'yetz l'beis ha-sreifa. First, the animal is left aside till it becomes unfit because of passage of time, and then it is taken out to be burnt. Now, we said a lot of information. We're at the end of our long question. What's the point? The point is on the first line of the top where we dashed underline yisoref miyad. You see from the Korban Pesach that had this latent or potential shlomim status is in the circumstances of mushli yedem, the animal is burnt immediately. What does that show us that it's burnt immediately? It shows us that we're viewing it still as a Korban Pesach. What does that indicate to us? That if you don't have a formal akira, if you don't have a formal uprooting of the original Pesach name and reassignment of it as a Korban Shlomim, it remains what it was. So in a nutshell, this shows that you, in order for a Korban to have its status changed, you need Akira. Well, what did Rav Huna Amar Rav say? Rav Huna Rav says, you don't need Akira. He spoke about the Oshem Shenitak Rav Shokto Stam, the neutral mindset, it automatically becomes an Ola. If you wanted to take full advantage of the markings and try to present this question in a very succinct fashion, you would say that Rav Huna's Amar Rav's emphasis on the stam, which indicates automatic changeover, is countered by this Tanaic source where it says Yisoref Miyad, which indicates to us that you do need Akira. As you can see, as the Gemara unfolds, there are diamonds that appear in different forms with colored in tips, different side parts of the diamond. On the side of the Gemara, we introduce this section with our Mivneh and Noseh heading. HaGemara Makshe al Rav Mimokor Shekotoni. The Gemara has asked already on Rav from the source in which it said, B'chol im nimshechu baylim es yedeyim min ha-pesach v'nishchato harei ze yisoref miyad. From that case, from the case of the Korban Pesach, whose owners withdrew, and coming out on a weekday, you burn it immediately. Mashmoy sadovor, the implication is, the boy Akira, that in order for it to lose the Pesach status, you would have had to have a formal uprooting. Udalo kerav. And this is unlike Rav. The diamonds are now featured. These represent five nisyonos letaretz kushis ha-gemora. Five attempts to resolve the problem. There's kasha from Yisorif Miyad on the din of Rav. The diamonds appear in these forms. Hei nisyonis letaris kushis ha-gemora, and we say we have a diamond with the upper part shaded. Tshuva shemichuvenes ledivrei Rav, where that kind of answer is where the answer is focusing on what Rav said, and the other kind of triangle is a tshuva shemichuvenes lahasbir hamokor di yisorif miyad by assigning authorship to the yisorif miyad source. We will also be able to say, well, that source is authored by so and so, and Rav holds by someone else. So that too will be a way of deflecting the challenge to Rav's position. So now the Gemara. We're at diamond number one. Ela loy temo shochtoi stam kosher l'shumola. And this diamond, as we said, is an answer focusing on what Rav originally said. So instead of having Rav's original statement, and you see we have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of Mura, align it with the arrow on Amud Aleph. Instead of having Rav's original statement as shochtoi stam, Elo'ema shochtoi l'shum oilo kosher. Very simple resolution. Instead of having shochtoi stam, you have him saying he shechted it, this osham shenita turaya, he shechted it with a specific olah intention. That's an uprooting. You're re-designating it as an olah. Well, and then it's kosher. Well, that shows you that you need akira. Question lasts a couple of lines, and we're going to quote information that we've seen earlier in Psochim. Ula Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda di Omar, according to Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda, who was addressing a Tanaic source that spoke about a Korban Pesach needing Akira, he says Kegoin Shohoyu Baitlin, let's read that again. The Omar Nizruka Mipi Chabura, the word came out from the group of people there, and the group of scholars were sitting around, and they said as follows: V'amri Kegon Shohoyu Baitlin Tamei Mesim V'Nidchin LePesach Sheni. The case there that the Korban Pesach needed to have an Akira is where the owners of the animal had actually been Tomei at the Pesach Rishon, at Yudalid Nisan, and they needed to use that, their particular animal, they needed it to be used as a Korban Pesach Sheni, 14th of Iyar. And we infer, Hai Hu Deboy Akira, only in that case where the owners needed it, they continued to need it for the next month, there, in order for it to lose its Pesach status, it would have had to have an uprooting of the name. But we can infer Ha Bi Alma Lo Boy Akira. But in general, a Pesach that's no longer useful or needed as a Korban Pesach, for whatever reason, it wouldn't need to have a formal uprooting, and it would automatically become a shlomim my iko lememar. Well, according to this approach, what are you going to say in face of what we learned at the top line, where it said yisoref miyat, from which we concluded that if you don't have a formal uprooting, it remains a Korban Pesach? Here we're saying that you don't need to have a formal uprooting. Even without the formal uprooting, it loses its shame Pesach. So what are we going to say? My equal amema. How are we going to resolve the source at the top with that which resolved Reb Chiya bar Gamda's comment with the source at the top? The Gemara answers. Now you'll notice here we have a diamond, but it's slightly it's different than the previous one. Here, this is, we're going to be focusing on that which it said at the top of the Omid, the Tanaic source. Elo Omar Rav Huna Braid Rav Yoshua. In general, he will tell you that an Osham Shenita Klurayo, like Rav said, is Shochtoi Stam, is Kosher Li'ola. You don't need to have Akira, just like Reb Chiya bar Gamda said. Hocha, here, in the case at the top, where it said Yisoref Miyad, Hocha B'may Askinon, Kegoin Shefrishoi Koidem Chatzois. Umesu Bailim Achar Chatzois. The animal was designated as a Korban Pesach prior to midday on the 14th of Nisan, and the owner died after Chatzos. Now, Chatzos is significant because at Chatzos, after Chatzos on the 14th, that's the time that becomes fit for offering a Korban Pesach. It was designated as a proper Korban Pesach before Chatzos. Chatzos arrived, and when Chatzos comes, that's the time for doing the Korban Pesach. And then what happened? The owner died. Davei le nireh v'nidche. It appeared as acceptable, but then it was cast away. It was shoved off. It was pushed off from being acceptable. Of course, a carbon pencil without an owner is not acceptable. And there's a rule when you have a situation like that of something starting off as acceptable and then being rendered unfit. V'chol hanira v'nidche shuv eino chozer v'nira. Once something appeared and then was rejected, it's an unfit sacrifice, and it's as a result of it being an unfit sacrifice, it can be burnt immediately. And it's when we say unfit, means it's totally unfit. It's not fit even to serve. It's not fit for anything. It's simply an unfit. It's a ruined korban, and therefore it's to be burnt immediately. The Gemara asks, how can you say that? How can that explanation be suitable in the context of our sukkah? Midihu taimel l'rav? Is that not an explanation other than for the defense of Rav? Ha omar Rav balei chayim einom nidchin. Rav has a well-known opinion, and that is that living animals, as is the case here, living animals are not rendered unfit. They're not pushed off. Therefore, why are you going to say Yisoref Miyad if you don't need Akira? Elo Omar Rav Popo. Ha-Moni, the source at the top that says Yisoref Miyad, which we said was a challenge to Rav, because that Yisoref Miyad indicated that it remains a Pesach unless you formally uproot the name. That was a challenge to the Rav. So the Gemara of Rav Papa says, "Homani Reb Elezer he." That source is in accordance with Reb Elezer Diomar. V'chein hashochet achirim l'shem Pesach posol. When you shecht other things with a Pesach intention, and that's what happened over here. It may very well have turned into a korban shlomim because you don't need akira. But you had a Pesach intention, and that makes it possible. And that's in accordance with Reb Elezer, to have a psula begufo. It's considered an inherent psul, an inherent deficiency, and therefore it's burnt immediately. Question: the Rebbe Eliezer, if it's in fact according to Rebbe Eliezer, chatos nami mechayev. The Mishnah said, in the case of Shochat Achirim L'Shem Pesach, he is potter from bringing a sin offering. So if the source above, which spoke about the case of Shochtoi V'Noida Shemosh L'Bailim Es Yodam, that's the case that concerning which it said Yisoref Miyad. But if that is authored by Rebbe Eliezer, then the Mishnah should have told us that he is Chayev a Korban Chatos, being that it's a Psul Begufa, it's an inherent Psul. If it's done on Shabbos, he is guilty of a Shabbos violation. And yet the Mishnah said he's Potter. But according to Rebbe Elezer, we'd be chayav achatos. The halesley le Rebbe Elezer toa bedvar mitzvah poter. Rebbe Elezer doesn't hold that if a person makes a mistake in the attempt to perform a mitzvah, that there is exemption. So this answer of assigning the Mishnah as shitas Rebbe Elezer, and hence supposedly defending Rav because, well, Rav just doesn't hold like Rebbe Elezer, he holds like others, that's not a good answer. Elo. Tirgum of Rav Yosef Breder of Salah Hasido Kameder of Papa. Rav Yosef explained to, in the presence of Rav Papa, Ha Money, the source at the top of Yisoref Miyad, Yosef ben Choinoihi. This is in accordance with Yosef ben Choinoi, this not Yosef ben Choinoi Omer, Hanishchotim L'Shem Pesach, U'L'Shem Chatos Psulim. Those things, like our case at the top, which basically became a shlomim because it was a Pesach Shemoshu Bailim Yesideim, there's no owner, so it automatically, like Rav says, becomes a shlomim. However, you'll ask, why is it Yisoref Miyad? If it's a shlomim, why should it be burnt immediately? Why not Ibur Tzura? Well, that's because Yosef Ben Choni says that when you have other things that are shechted as if it's a Pesach, which is the case that we had before, it's posel. Alma psula begufohi. It's considered an inherent deficiency. Umishim hachi yisoref miyad. and therefore it shall be burnt immediately. Now, you'll ask, well, then, what about as far as Shabbos is concerned? In our Mishnah, it's taught that this happened on Shabbos. What about a Korban Chatos? Uvifturi Sovralok, Rabbi Yeshua. Yosef ben Chonoi holds that with regard to Shabbos, we say Toya Bidvar Mitzvah is Potter, is exempt from bringing a Korban Chatos. Rav Ashi Omar. Notice the Rav Ashi diamond has the shaded in tip at the top. Omar, Rav Ashi said, that means we're going to, his focus is going to be on Shitas Rav. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav, namely Rav Huna Marav, the Omar, Rabbi Shmuel, Benoi, Rabbi Yochanan, Broka. Again, Rav indicated that Oshem Shanita, he said, Oshem Shanita Kleraya, Veshochta Stam, it is acceptable as an Ola, without a formal redesignation. Well, so that Shita is in conformity to Rav Yishmuel, the Sanya. In other words, Rav has a Tana to base himself on, and it reads as follows. Rav Yishmuel ben Oishu, Rav Yochanan ben Broka, Omer, Rav Yishmuel, the son of Rav Yochanan ben Broka, says, Im ye sheus b'yom leida, im moshu b'ayle mesdeim, o shemesu, o shenitmu, chayof, Utuubar tsurasoi viyetsoi lebeis asrefa. If there was enough time in the day to know concerning the Korban Pesach, this was slaughtered on Shabbos, but there was enough time in day to know that the owner had withdrawn, or the owner died, or the owner became Tomei, so there was enough time and day for you to know about it. You went ahead and did it anyway. You slaughtered this Korban Pesach having had enough time to discover that the owners withdrew. Well, you have to bring a Korban Chatos for violating Shabbos. And it says, Tu'ubar Tsuroso. This is the main point here. It doesn't say here Yisarif Miad. This is a Tanaic source that doesn't say Yisarif Miad. And rather, it's left over till it becomes possible because of passage of time, even though it's puzzle already, and it's then taken out to be burnt. My taima, why is there a need for Ibor Tsura? Why isn't considered an inherent psul? Lav mishum delo boy akira. Is it not because you really don't need akira? And this Pesach really automatically becomes a shlomim. And if it automatically becomes a shlomim, its whole deficiency is that it was slaughtered after the tomid shelbein ho'arbayim. That is an external psul, not an inherent psul, and therefore, ibur tzura. The Gemara continues. Mimai. And you'll notice we have a long rejection marking over here. And there's a Rashi that appears to the lower part of the page. Mimai Dilma, Rashi says, Le'olam boy Akira. I will tell you that you do need to have Akira, and that's not going to be in favor. It's not that this opinion of Rabbi Shmuel is not going to be favorable to Rav. That really you do need Akira, Upsula Begufo, and it's an inherent psul by virtue of the fact that the owners died, and it's a Pesach because you didn't oker the shame. And v'hai de boi ibur tzura, Yishim ben Shmuel sovar, lo ketana de bei rabo baravua. The reason that we need ibur tzura and it's not an immediate burning is because Rabbi Shmuel holds like another opinion, the omar filu pigul shepsula begufo ton ibur tzura. There's an opinion that says that even things that are inherent deficiencies require ibur tzura. And hence the Gemara's question, or rejection of this answer. The Gemara goes on, Mimai, who says that the explanation of Rabbi Shmuel is because you need that there's automatic switchover, that you don't need Ibur Tzura, that you don't need Akira. Dilma, Mishum, Dilma, maybe, the reason that we have Ibur Tzura, not immediate burning, is Mishum de Sovalo Ketano de Bei Rabo Baravua. Because Rabbi Shmuel holds like this other opinion, the Tana de Bei Rabo Baravua, the Omar. And here's a Tanaic source, Afilu Pigul Nami Boi Ibur Tzura. Even Pigul, which is a Psul Beguf, requires this idea or this phenomenon of leaving it over. The Yolif Now we have to say pigul is a case of an animal, a sacrifice slaughtered with the intention of eating it at the wrong time. That is a very major offense and form of ruining a korban. Even something as major as that, which is a true inherent psul, a true psul begufo, requires ibur tzur. Now, how does he know that? The olif ovoin ovoin minos, because of a gzera shava word comparison from the topic of nosar, he comes to this conclusion. Now, nosar is a meat that was left over. So we see that even something like pigul, which is an inherent psul, it needs, before you can burn it, it needs to be left over. Just like nosar, as something has time expired, and it is then to be burnt. If you don't say this, but rather you say that Rabbi Shmuel holds, you don't need Akira, and you say he holds like Rav. Well, nitmu baila maikol meimar. What about the case of the owner becoming tomei? In the Rabbi Shmuel source, we saw that in the case of nitmu bailim, he said ibur. You need to have ibur tsura. What are you going to say in this case of nitmu bailim if Rabbi Shmuel holds that you don't need to have akira? Ha vadai boy akira. In the case of nitmu bailim, you certainly would need to have akira. Once again, even according to Rav, you would need to have akira. Diomar abchiyah bar gamda nizraka mipi chabura. This is the quote, we had this before, Kigon Shoyu Bailim Tomei Mace, where the owner of a Korban Pesach was Tomei Mace, Venidchu the Pesach Sheni. They are then going to use their Korban Pesach on Yud Dalid Iyar, the second chance. And if you were to shech that Korban beforehand, without having been oker the shame, it's not going to become a shlomim automatically. Let us immediately go to the Rashi, about five lines from the bottom. The ilo tema hochi, if you're not going to say, like we said, the taimo mishum de kosovar psua guftoni butsura, if you're going to say, other than that, elo mishum, the low boy akira. But if you're going to try to explain Rabbi Shmuel's ibur tzura din because you don't need akira and it's a shlomim that was shechted after the tamid, well, ha tenach meso niskapru, that explanation would be suitable for the case of the owner dying or the owner having kapora through another source, and therefore the animal will automatically become a shlomim, and therefore you would need to have ibur tzura before you can burn it. Aval nitma'u, but the case that was taught in the same breath by Rishmoy where the owner became tomei, mi'ika, the low boy akira, would anyone say that you don't need to have akira? Hostami the Pesach Sheni Koi, there its neutral status is one of being a Pesach. It's needed for Yud Aleph Iyar, Yud Dalet Iyar. Rabbi Shmuel, Oishnit Munami Kotani. Rabbi Shmuel said in that same teaching where he spoke about Ibur Tzura, where the owner became Tomei. So, in as far as that example is concerned, for it to have become a shlomim, you certainly would have had to have akira. And without that akira, it would have remained a Pesach. And having remained a Pesach with Bailim Tameim, so why in the world would you not say Yisorif Me'ad? Why would you say Tu Bar Tzuraso? So the only reason for saying Tu Bar Tzuraso would because of Rabbi Shmuel holding like Rabba Bar Avua that even a psul beguf requires ibur tzura. So therefore the hesber for the Rabbi Shmuel source of Ibur Tzura is basically that in general you need to have Akira, not like Rav. You can't align Rabbi Shmuel with Shitas Rav, and since you didn't have Akira, it remains a Pesach, and as such, it's a Pesach she Moshubayim Yudayim or Mesu or Nitmu, and only because of holding like the Tani Debay Rabba Baravua do we say Ibur Tzura. So as far as Rav Ashi's explanation of saying that Rav holds like Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshem Rav Broka, that falls away. Ela machvarto kedishoni meikora Yosef ben Chunoihi. Rather, we'll accept what we said earlier, the approach taken in number 4, that the source above is according to Yosef ben Chunoi, that says Pesach, that's or that other things that are shechted l'shem Pesach are considered puzzle, and as such, that's why you sarif miad. And in the case of a Pesach shemosh yidayim by them, you're basically dealing with a shlomim, like Rav says, you don't need to have akira, and it's a shlomim that was shechted l'shem Pesach, and as a result of that, it's puzzle, and it requires it to be burnt immediately. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.